I said to you this morning that we were going to have Leah Brown give a word of testimony. I'm going to ask Leah to come right away. And Leah's going to share what the Lord has done for her, what he means to her. And she's going to do it just now. Thanks, Leah. And I know she's nervous, but I'm sure that she looks at your lovely, friendly, smiling faces. Her nerves will soon be abated. Thanks.
Hello, everybody. I'd just like to take this opportunity to remind you that there is tea and coffee tonight after service. And I would like to thank everybody that did come to it. And me and Claire started that on a Sunday night, not just because we love to talk, but because we wanted to see a bit of fellowship within the church, and we wanted to have a chance to get to know new people that come into the church. So we just came up with this idea and started to do it on a Sunday night. And just the first night that we've done it, two people came to the Lord, and that was just a seal from the Lord that that's what he wanted us to do. But, you know, we've got to know everybody in the church. Since we started it, and it's been such a blessing, and you know, we've been able to see the younger coming together with the older and wiser, and getting to know each other a lot better. And you know, we're so blessed every Sunday night that we do it, because the smile on people's faces is just from cheek to cheek. So I just thank you for all those that do come. But I have a portion of scripture I'd like to read, and it's found in 1 Corinthians 6:9-20. If you want to look up. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Food is for the belly, and the belly is for food, but God shall destroy them both. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. And God has both raised us up from the Lord, and will raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So flee fornication, because every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So know ye that your body is a temple for the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and that you are not your own. But you are bought with a price, so therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So I'm just going to tell you a bit tonight about why I love Jesus, which is a question that a lot of people ask me all the time. But you know, I love Jesus because he first loved me. And the Bible tells me that in the book of 1 John. And you know, Jesus loved me so much that he paid a price for me on the cross, where he died so that I can know God. And he made this path for me, this entrance for me, and for you to know God, so that we can know our purpose here in life. And you know, there's so much enjoyment in serving the Lord, and I have come to know this in many ways throughout my life. I found enjoyment in the Lord as a child. I was brought up in a Christian home, and I'm very blessed that I had Christian parents. They always took us to church and Sunday school and Good News Club and always taught us about God. And as a child, I had the opportunity to hear about Jesus and to know the price that was paid for me on the cross. And as a child, I asked the Lord into my heart. As many people say, I asked the Lord in their heart every night, and I did. But, you know, I knew the peace of God in my heart, and I knew that I was saved, and I knew that one day I would go to heaven to be with the Lord as a child. And I knew that that perfect peace that is given to you whenever you trust in God. And I just knew that God was in control of my life. And so this perfect peace helped me through the loss of someone very special to me. My dad was a Christian, and he was taken home to be with the Lord in his mid-30s after a short time with cancer. And you know, as I was only six, you would think I would have found this really difficult to understand, but I knew that my dad was in heaven. And I knew that because he trusted in God. And you know, this didn't leave me fatherless, because I knew that I had a heavenly father who was watching over me, and he was going to provide everything that I needed. And I was only a child, and I understood that. So parents don't underestimate taking your child to church, because they take everything in. But, you know, God was watching over me, and I knew that my dad was with him in heaven, and Joe, that brought me through this stage in my life. And Joe, I just praise God that my mum is so strong in her faith, and she always encouraged me through my walk with God. And as a child, my walk with God was pretty easy. But whenever I went to school, that's when it became difficult. Well, secondary school, that's when it became difficult. Do you know, I remember walking into first year and walking into the classroom, and you know, you have that, you have your heart is pounding, you have to make that decision. Am I going to stand up for God and tell people I am a Christian? Or was I going to be ashamed? And to my shame, I was ashamed. I was embarrassed to tell people that I was a Christian because I didn't think I'd be popular. And you know, it's a big thing and it happens. But to my shame, I turned my back on God. But I just praise God that my mum, even through all my teenage years, whenever I turned my back on God, always kept encouraging me and kept showing me the way. And you know, she never judged me, and no matter how far away I got from God. And sure, that just shows me, you know, it doesn't matter what we do to God, he will never judge us. And he's still always waiting there with open arms for us to come back to him. But whenever I started secondary school, I lost that close relationship that I had with God due to my own selfishness. You know, God had so faithfully walked beside me, and I turned my back on him, and I became completely overcome in the prison of self. And what I mean by that is that I stopped being led by God, and I just had to do what I wanted. And you know, but nothing can be hid from God. He sees absolutely everything. And he was watching me, and he was watching the rebellious heart that I had towards him. And I became so ignorant to his voice. And I always relate my story to the prodigal son. I'm sure a lot of you know it, but it's about the story in the Bible that tells of a son. He had everything he ever needed, a rich father with clothes on his back and a lovely home. But it still wasn't enough for him. He had to go and try the world, and he took half his inheritance money and went and spent it on worthless things. But at the end, he was left in the gutter, and he was left eating the food the pigs ate. Thankfully, I didn't have to eat the food the pigs ate. But that was my life. I had to go and do my own thing and be very selfish and self-centered and live a life without God. But you know, my behaviour doesn't surprise me, because now when I look back at it, it tells us in the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, that this know also, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous and boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truth-breakers, false accusers, without self-control, fierce and despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Well, that was my behaviour. I was a lover of pleasures more than I was a lover of God. And at this, you know, as my teenage years went on, I just lived a life pleasing to myself. But whenever I turned 19, at the beginning of that year, I began to feel very empty. But I began to think about my life, and the concerns at the beginning of that year was popularity and my love life and striving towards a well-paid job. But as that year went on, things started to change in my heart, and I began to sense God's presence, and I began to sense him knocking on the door of my heart. And I knew that I had to get right with him. But I thought, oh my goodness, I've gone so far away from God. How am I supposed to do that? And you know, God left me many warning signs over that year. And I remember having dreams that the devil was chasing me. And that sounds really harsh, but it's true, because the devil, he'll try to get you down and he'll try to win you over. And I used to wake up thinking to myself, like, if God came back, where would I go? Would it be heaven or hell? And I would have to make that choice, and I would have to get right with God. Otherwise, I was going to be somewhere where I didn't want to go. And I wanted to go to heaven. I wanted to go and see my dad again. But it came to the end of that year. Still 19, I was doing a diploma in art and design. And I'd hoped to carry on to do a fashion degree. But the Lord had other plans for me. And towards the end of that year, I started attending church with my mum, and every time I went, every Sunday night, I used to come out at the end of the night thinking, that pastor was looking right at me, and whatever he was saying, I felt so under deep conviction. I just knew I was going to have to get right with the Lord, and I just knew that God wanted me, but I still kept trying to push him away. But it's like just kept tugging at me and pulling me back. And then what happened was there was a tent mission in along the backwoods Carrick in Stephen and Daphne Holmes Farm. And the preacher from South Africa was speaking, Angus Buchan. And me and my friend, Karina, were like, that looks good, come on, we'll go. So we went the first night, and she went, was that good the first night? We went back the second night. And she might just remember that night, he was doing an altar call and inviting people to come up the front, and I was too shy. I was like, no, I'm not going up there. But I just, he was telling stories of what God had done in his life, how God had given him the freedom and liberty to step away from being living the selfish life that he was in. And I just knew that was me, and that was the life that I was living, and I just wanted to step away from that, and I just wanted God to take control. Do you know, that night I just bowed my head and I said to God, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I need you to take control of my life. In the quietness of my chair, that is all I've done. That is all you have to do. And I asked God to take control of my life. But, you know, over those years, I picked up many bad habits. So I had to learn, and I'm still learning, to make self-control my habit. But, you know, God makes all things new. And from that moment, God began to renew my heart and my mind. And I began to desire the life that God had for me, not the life that I imagined. But I had to listen to God and not ignore him. And you know, God is speaking to everybody in here tonight, but it's our choice whether to listen or not. There's a verse in Proverbs, and it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels and understand a proverb and the interpretation of the words of the wise. Because fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, I didn't want to be a fool for the world anymore. I wanted to be a fool for God. Not through my strength, but his. And so when you begin to live a life in the Spirit, the more time you spend with God, and the more time I spent with God, I became aware of what I should or what I shouldn't be doing. I became more aware of what he wanted me to do, not what I wanted to do. I began my journey of trusting in God. You know, it tells the king in Proverbs that to trust in the Lord with all your heart and to lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways to acknowledge him, and he will direct your path, and be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from all evil. Well, this is what I wanted to do. I just wanted to live my life to please God, not to please myself anymore. Well, at that time, as I said, I was just finishing up a diploma in art and design, and the door opened for me to start working full time. So as that year went on, I had an opportunity to go on a mission trip, which I was very excited about, and encouragement from my mum. And, you know, after the first mission trip I'd been on, I came home and I just knew there was a real burden on my heart for people that didn't know the Lord. And I went on the next one the following October, and then the next one the following May, which I had the privilege of being baptised with my friend Faith, who's got here tonight, in the sea, Santorps. And that year, whenever I came back, you know, I just had such a burden, and I just really wanted to get, I just felt like I didn't know God's word enough, and I never will. It's a big book and there's a lot to learn in it. But I thought to myself, wouldn't it be great to go to Bible college for a year, you know, just to be saturated in God's word and really get to make up for all that lost time that I had spent away from him. So as time went on, I applied to Belfast Bible College, and I just prayed about it, and I said to the Lord, if this is your will, you would open the door for me and that I would go. But it was funny because as I was praying about that at the time, you know, people were saying to me, do you want to be a pastor? And I was like, no, I don't want to be a pastor. I just want to go and learn a bit more about Jesus. But at that time I was reading in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and there shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And that was just a reassurance in my heart that, because I was feeling, who am I, that I should go to Bible college. No, I don't want to be a pastor. You know, it's not only people like that should go to Bible college, but it's not. And God opened the door for me for not only a year at Bible college, he opened the door for me to do three. And I'm not going to say that it was just a brilliant time of just sitting around drinking coffee and talking spiritual things with Christians, because it was actually quite hard. And there is actually a real spiritual warfare that goes on because the devil doesn't want you to be there. He doesn't want you to be there studying God's word every day. And it wasn't easy, but when I've come out of it now at the end, I can look back and see how God has brought me through that and how much I had to trust in him. And you know, I could stand here tonight and tell you, I could be here the next week telling you how many times I have failed God and all the wrong things I have done in my life. But one, that wouldn't glorify God, and two, I'm sure you just want to go home at some stage tonight. But the thing is that God is always there with open arms, ready to take you back, but it doesn't mean that you should sin and always just know that God will take you back. You should learn from your mistakes and move on and hope that God will use that in your future to maybe help someone else. So I just want to leave you with this verse, found in Joshua 1 and 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written in it. And then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So God has made a plan of provision. He didn't leave us here to make it on our own. And we don't have to walk alone, because we are brought with a price. As I read at the start, we are bought with a price, and Jesus paid the price for us on the cross. And he has an amazing plan. He had an amazing plan for my life. And he's done so many things with my life. I could go on all night telling you, which is why I would love you to come and speak to me after tea and coffee. And I'll tell you more about what he's done. But I just hope and pray tonight that what I said will really speak to your heart, and that if you don't know God, that you will get to know him, because he has such an amazing life planned for you. So just listen and don't ignore his voice. Don't be ignorant like I was for so long. Don't lose out in all those years that I did. Thank you.